Stand and join me as we sing all five. Amen. Thank you, Sherry. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 1, because that's exactly what I want to speak to you about from God's Word this morning, is I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So look with me, if you will, in Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 13. Paul says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was prevented thus far, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning that you would place in our hearts, in our lives, and in our actions, Lord, a willingness and an eagerness to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, that we would not be ashamed, wherever we are and whoever we're with, to loudly and proudly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Lord, thank you for the message and song that we've already heard. I pray, Lord, that you would make this a real part of our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this passage of Scripture, it's very clear that Paul, because he proudly proclaimed that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was motivated to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Because of that, he makes several statements. One that he made was simply that in verse 16 when he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." And I believe because of that he said some of the preceding things that we find in this passage of Scripture. One of the things that he told us was in verse 14 when he said, "I am under obligation." He said, "I am a debtor. I am under obligation to share this gospel, this good news with the Jews and with the Greeks, to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise, to every." I believe that Paul was saying that I am under obligation to share the good news of Jesus Christ with every man, woman, boy or girl, young person that I encounter, because I am not ashamed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with anyone that I encounter. And I thank God that we have that witness in His Word, and that it ought to be our witness in our lives and in our Word. You know, sometimes as we look at this passage of Scripture, we might ask ourselves, why would Paul make such a strong statement about the gospel? I think one of the reasons was because that he knew who he was in Christ. You know, sometimes in our lives we begin to be a bit arrogant as we think about who we are and what we can do, and all of our accomplishments. But in spite of that, the Apostle Paul, who was one of the most learned men of his time, that he recognized himself in the proper relationship to Jesus Christ that we ought always to remember. He knew that he was a slave, that he was a bondservant to the Lord Jesus. Just previously in a few verses in Romans 1:1, he identified himself as a servant, as a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in saying that he knew that Jesus Christ had paid a high price for his salvation, that Jesus Christ had bought him with his own blood, that he knew that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for him, and that's what his eternity and what his life was purchased with. He knew that he belonged to Jesus. You know, sometimes we sing hymns, and I don't know if we really believe them or not. You know, sometimes we sing the hymn, "Jesus paid it all." That he did pay it all. He bought us with himself and with his own blood. And then the rest of that song says, "All to him I owe." That when Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I'm a debtor, I am under obligation," I believe that he realized that Jesus Christ was his owner, his master, part and parcel. And we need to realize that if we are to be who we're supposed to be in the Lord. And something else that we find in this is that he was under obligation. Who was he to share with because of this obligation? He said, "To all people." It didn't matter. He says, "To the wise, to the unwise, to the Greeks, to the barbarians." It doesn't matter. You know, we need to come to the place in our lives that it doesn't matter. that whether a person is black or white or red, whether rich or poor, regardless of who they are, that we share the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ with people who are dying in their sins, because this is the only way. Jesus Christ is the only way that they can have life. You know, sometimes that we do a lot of things for people in trying to help people, and we ought to as Christians. But you know, one thing that we have, that is the life-giving force of eternity that no one else has to offer but those that know Christ, is the living water, which is Jesus. There are a lot of people in this world that are dying in a desert of sin, dying in the desert of this place that we call planet Earth, and dying for all eternity, while yet Christians, while we have the living water, we've drank of the well which never runs dry. And friends, because of that, you and I, like the Apostle Paul, are under obligation to share this living water with those who are dying of a spiritual thirst. We are under obligation. We are a debtor. I believe that one of our greatest sins in modern-day America, one of the greatest sins of in the Christian world, in Christians' lives, is the sin of silence. That we're not telling the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, I want you to notice that Paul, he says something else, but since he was not ashamed of the gospel, some other things that it did in his life. He says in verse 15, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." You know, there's a couple of different ways to interpret the word ready. You know, ready can mean preparation. I have no doubt that Paul was prepared to preach the gospel. I have no doubt whatsoever that he was ready in his preparation. But you know, not only was he ready in his preparation, he was eager. He was eager to preach the gospel. He was eager to go. Some of you have children. And you know, if maybe you're, if you have going to have a birthday party or something, you know, one of the places that children always like to go for a birthday party is like the Showbiz Pizza or to Chuck E. Cheese's or one of those kind of places. And let's say you've told your child about this and they know that it's coming up, and the day arrives for the birthday party, and they go, "Mom or Dad, I'm ready to go." What do they mean by that? They mean, "Well, I'm dear Mom, Mother, Father, I'm prepared to go to Showbiz Pizza." No, they're going, "I'm ready, I'm eager, I want to go." And I believe in a real sense that this is what Paul was saying, that I am eager to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what we need are people. We need Christians who are eager, who are ready to serve the Lord Jesus, who are ready to go. You know, I believe that when that happens right here in the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary community, when we get eager to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will turn Wake Forest, North Carolina, upside down with the gospel. You know, it ought to be that a lost person doesn't have a chance in this county. As many people who call themselves Christians, that we ought to be about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Think what a difference that would make when we really get eager to be the kind of witnesses that we ought to be. We ought to be courageous in our witness. You know, one of D. James Kennedy's favorite stories is he tells the story of Alexander the Great. And Alexander was having court and having trial, and the people were coming before him that were charged with all manners of crimes. And as you know, Alexander was noted as oftentimes a very cruel man. And he was both judge and jury as people would come before him. The line often would be long as the various criminals would come before him, or those who had been charged with a crime. They would be presented to Alexander, one maybe for murder, another for stealing, what have you. And often the sentence would be death. One after another came before Alexander the Great. The charge was announced, and then the sentence was proclaimed, and like I said, often it was death. Finally, one fair-haired young man came before Alexander, a young man. He looked into the eyes of Alexander, and Alexander looked into his eyes, and he said to him, "Son, what is your crime?" And the young man just sort of lowered his head. Finally, the crime was announced, that the young man's crime was cowardice. Even though Alexander's heart was warned by the young man, the one thing that he could not stand was cowardice. And he looked into the young man's eyes again, and this time he was enraged, and he said, "Young man, What is your name? And the young man looked up at him and he said, Alexander, sir. This time, Alexander the Great, the rage just built and built in his face and in his countenance. And he screamed, young man, what is your name? Alexander, sir. Finally, Alexander the Great, he rose to his feet and grabbed the young man by his collar and shook him. And he said, young man, change your name or change your conduct. Oh, friends, how we need to be what we proclaim to be. If we call ourselves Christians, Christ-like, that our conduct ought to be that of the Lord Jesus, that we ought not to be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need courageous witnesses in this world and in this life. You know why some people do not witness and share their faith? Because they love self or love some other diversion more than they love the Lord and love Christ. Some people don't serve God because maybe they love their money more than they love the Lord. But they love something more than they love the Lord Jesus. You know, our priorities of sharing the gospel need to be like the priorities of the Apostle Paul. If you look through the Word of God, and I'll just give you some references because we don't have time to look at these, but Paul was ready to die for the sake of the gospel. He said, I'm ready to go to Rome, which could have meant death. And he said in Acts 20, we find a reference that he was ready even if it meant death. In Colossians 1:24, he was ready if it meant suffering or death. In Romans 9, in verse 3, he was ready even if it meant condemnation. He was ready even if it meant the price of his own life. He was ready to go to Rome. He was ready to preach the gospel. He was not ashamed of the gospel and would do anything to proclaim it, even if it meant the end of his own life. There's an old story that the evangelist at the turn of the century used to tell of the time when blood transfusions weren't as they are now. The time whenever they used to do blood transfusions is they would do them directly from one person to the next and put a person upon a table a little higher than the other and just connect them directly by the IV tubing to the person that needed blood. The old evangelist used to tell the story of the little girl who desperately needed a blood transfusion. And the doctors had told her parents that if she did not receive this transfusion, she surely would die. They tried to find a match, and as they looked, they did finally find a match, and it was her brother, who was just a few years older than she was. But he was still young at the tender age of 8 or 9 years old. And so the doctor prepared both the little girl and her older brother to give her the life-giving blood. And as the doctor hooked up the IV tubing between the two, the little boy looked up into the eyes of the doctor and said, Doctor, how long will it be before I die? You see, the little guy, he was willing to give his life for his sister. He was willing to die that another might have life. Friend, we ought to be so assured in our faith. We ought to be so courageous in our faith that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ and not count the cost. That we might, in the sense that it would cause us to draw back, but that we ought to say, I will go even if it means my own life. And that's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel in verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. You know, when Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, you know, he clearly knew what the gospel was. You know, the gospel was that God, the Son, born of a virgin, who lived a perfect and sinless life, died substitutionary. He died a substitutionary atonement for our sins. They really did die. He was buried. And he rose again on the third day, and one day he's coming again. And if you put your faith and your trust in him, that you can have life and life everlasting. Paul knew what the gospel was. He knew what he was proclaiming. And he was not ashamed of that gospel. You know, there were a lot of people that were ashamed of the gospel in this day because, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, a lot of people thought of him as probably as the carpenter's son. And they thought of him as the one who ate and associated with people who were sort of the lower class of society, Paul said, I don't care. I don't care what you think of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of my Lord. I can almost hear Paul respond, I know I'm not much, but you know, I'm not ashamed to be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. There were a lot of people that probably had heard about Jesus and heard all the things. That here's a man who associates with the publicans, with the tax collectors, with prostitutes, with sinners. He even forgives their sin. A lot of people were talking about him in a sense that, you know, I don't want anything to do with him. You know the reason they would say that? Because they didn't know him. I have a feeling. In our churches today, you go into some churches and you never hear the name Jesus. You hear people talk a lot about God and a higher being, but you don't hear people proclaiming proudly and loudly the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. I think one of the reasons that some people are ashamed of the gospel is because they really don't know him. They know what they've heard about him, but they really, really just don't know him. When you know him, when you have met the Redeemer, the Savior, the Lord of glory, face to face, you'll not be ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power of your salvation and my salvation. And there was no doubt that Paul, when he said, I'm not ashamed of this, that he knew that it was for salvation, that it was the power of God. You know, the power of God, it's the word dunamis, and word which sort of reminds us of an English word, dynamite. You know, the power of God is the only thing that can dynamite the sin in our lives and blow the wickedness out of our lives, that we might be what God would have us to be. Notice he also says that, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone, not to some people, but to everyone. And he was going to proclaim it because he knew what it had done for him. You know, there's no doubt that Paul, you know, read his Bible. You know, several times we find Paul referring to Isaiah. He knew Isaiah well. We find several references in Romans to Isaiah. We just did, you know, Isaiah in our January Bible studies across the SBC. You know, I can almost, you know, I know that Paul had hidden the scriptures in his heart, in his life. He knew them, and you know, as he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, you can almost hear him say, you want to know why I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and hear him flip the pages over to Isaiah 53, and hear him say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised and we esteemed him not. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, friends, you know, I can almost hear the old apostle saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because he was despised that I might be delivered from my sins. He was wounded that I could be healed from my death. He was stricken that I might be spared. He was a man of sorrows that I might have the celebration of the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life. He was rejected, therefore I can rejoice in the Lord. He was acquainted with grief, so I could be acquainted with God. I could know him in his fullness. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The question for us is to ask ourselves, what about me? Am I ashamed of the gospel, or will I proclaim it to whomever, to wherever the Lord would put me? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, I pray that as you have done a work of grace in so many lives, that we indeed would not be ashamed of you. That we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And that we would realize that because of this gospel that we are a debtor. We are under obligation to share the good news of Jesus Christ with all of those that we come in contact with. Lord Jesus, I pray that if there is even one who is ashamed of the gospel, that you would reveal to them this day the power of God in the gospel, the power to change lives, the power of salvation. They might know you in your fullness and proclaim your word boldly and freely and courageously. Lord, help us to say with Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.